so we can talk about it. I think there's a
good one. We have 215, I believe, 1, 2, 3, 4. We have the whole committee here. Youth and governance maybe is over at the county center?
No, one is not able, and the other one, I'm not sure where he is. He should be here, but probably KCC.
Okay. So the whole committee is here. And for those of you that haven't been here, we'll have a various coming. Give us a little information this evening about the Real Aid Center. And need the approval of the minutes from our previous meeting. If everyone received those, had a chance to view them. Are you going to motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve last month's meeting minutes. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Minutes are approved. So we try to do this at least once a year, have a meeting in this park. The reason we do it here and not in a lot of the other parks is we don't have meeting rooms in the other park. But we do have a couple that we could put in to go out to the golf course. But it's to let the committee know what we have available out here, to meet the Pringle board chair and let him tell you what's going on here. With the new developments here, it also is a little more timely that we're here. And also, I ran into one of the parks guys at, I don't know, about 8 o'clock yesterday morning. He was headed with a chipper for here. He said, "You guys got a meeting over at Crystalwood." He said, "I was told to get a chipper over there." So they must have had a brush pile out here somewhere. And he had worked till midnight at Silver Lake Beach. That the park closed at 10, and he was there till midnight. He was getting up that river. So I didn't see any brush piles, apparently. They did a good job. But that's all I have. Any supervisors' comments? Or, yes?
Just a couple things that I... youth and government tour, we've got leaking in the clerk's and treasurer's office. We found out, I mean, it's leaking bad. So I don't know if anyone was told. I'm hoping so. But, boy, they were swimming when we got there. It was tough.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, wow. So, also, the tour, I thought went very well. I think we had 13 of the youth and government students there, and very quiet. We had to drag questions out of them. I know, Ray, Clement, you were there. We missed Matt. Apparently, you had something come up, and we had others as well. But it was very informational to me, especially when the power went out in the morgue. Outstanding time. But happy to know, again, everything worked as it was supposed to. The courthouse was out. The safety building was out. I think admin was probably out as well. That whole area was at came through
the sky.
Yeah. Everything worked like it was supposed to work. But we couldn't do the tour of the 911 joint services because they wouldn't know what was going to work and what wasn't. But the 911 center was working absolutely as designed. So congratulations on putting that system together and it happening. Couldn't have run a better test. Good idea. So. I did tour the Kemper Center with Supervisor Kubicki and Robin, who was one of the volunteers there. Received a lot of information there. I asked for other information. They were more than happy. I think it was Carrie who sent it out to me. I'm going to ask for some more information from Supervisor Kubicki, and because again, I'm still trying to understand the connections between all this being new, but I am starting to get to it. But do appreciate all the help and all the information that I've gotten so far today. Other than that, I'm done.
Mark, what else is available? And I don't know when you're available, but Supervisor Juhas, Ray set her up with a full tour. Took her about a day, but handed her off from Clement to Matt, this guy, that guy, and did a...
Right.
So if you're ever available for that, just contact Ray.
Yeah, and then maybe it won't be a full tour, but maybe there's something I do want to grab, like maybe schedule some time, you know, here and there.
To see things that a lot of people don't even know we've got.
Right. You know? Right. Which is why I wanted to get to the ones we've got.
Right.
Got to.
Right.
Thank you.
And anybody else? Any supervisor? Okay.
John has a...
Yeah. I was wondering if you could turn down the speed on the fan system or the ventilation system here. It's kind of noisy. You
know, what happened was it's on a timer. It went off at 4. It was really stuffy, so I thought I should crank up the air, but I didn't turn it off.
Or just turn it, the speed down a notch.
Can't really control the speed.
No, it's on or it's off.
It's
on or it's not real sophisticated. Yet. No variable frequency drives.
Leave it on.
If Supervisor Juhas is having hot flashes, we can do that. Sorry about that. Didn't think about
it. Anything else? Citizens' comments would be next. Any citizen that would like to address the committee on any items on our agenda or anything that would pertain to public works facility. Seeing no one, we'll move on. To Barry. And for those of you that don't know Barry, he's the chairman here of the board. And well, he'll introduce himself.
Okay.
Welcome
to Pringle Nature Center. We're always glad to have you have a meeting out here. Beautiful park and enjoy it. I don't know if everyone's aware, we just had our 20th anniversary celebration a couple weeks ago, and we got this really nice plaque from the state of Wisconsin honoring us for our 20 years of service here. And I'll just read the one statement that I like the best, I think. It says, "The future of the Pringle Nature Center is bright with the possibility of expansion within Bristol Woods County Park, which could provide more events and activities and create environmental stewards of any age." So 20 years in the past, we're saying our future is bright, and I agree. And a lot of it is due to the support of the people around this table. So we thank you. Matt handed out the written report, and I'll just highlight a few things in it. For those that are new out here, we provide educational programming for school students, homeschool. We have a lot of homeschool that come out here. Scouts, adults. We've got kids out here all the time. Last Wednesday, we had our International Mud Day. And down there, I dig up a pit of mud, fill it up, stir it up, and the kids come out and jump in it. And if you go onto our Facebook page, there's a video on there and some pictures of the kids. So often they're told, don't get dirty, don't get dirty. And get dirty, get in that mud. And it's actually good for their immune systems too, I guess. So they have a lot of fun doing that. Just to give you a couple of statistics that are on the page there, 50 volunteers contributed almost 1,000 hours. Volunteer service last year. And I think that's conservative because a lot of times we forget to record our hours when we're out here. We had about 4,000 visitors to the center. We don't count people who just come into the park, because that's very hard to do. And about another 4,000 that participated in our programming. Just recently we did all of our programs. We have a lot of Kenosha Unified students that come out here and they redid their science curriculum, so we wanted to accommodate that. We also will write the curriculum. If somebody comes to me and says, I don't like any of the things that you provide, can you do something for me? And we'll sit down and work with them and develop a specific program for them. Currently, we're running summer camp out here, which is very popular with the kids. We also were able to hire a part-time environmental educator, and she was out there this morning with pets, and she was doing the pots in the park. program. So it's allowed us to expand a little bit out into some of the other parks as well. Recently, we got a grant, Quiet Trails grant, and we've been developing an interactive self-guided trail. We have 20 stations out here along the Red Trail, and I didn't even know what these were. I'm kind of a dinosaur, I guess. We put these QR codes on all those posts out there, so those of you that have a smartphone can go out there and it'll give you information about that particular site. And it's also set up, if you get lost out there, it can tell you where you are. And it does happen. I was out there one day and the sheriff's department car pulls up. Uh-oh, what did I do now? And the guy comes in, he says, well, I got a 911 call. Somebody's lost out in the woods and can't find the way back. So if you have a smartphone now, it'll tell them exactly where they are. Another thing we've been working on that Val has done is this nature passport. And this has activities in every one of the county parks for kids to do. And if they do that activity, they can come back to us and we can stamp it here and they can complete all of the things and maybe earn a patch or something for doing that. We saw that in a lot of national parks and thought that was really a cool idea. So. We have those available. We have a child or grandchild who would like to take one of these, and we have some available back there. Matt said I should mention our monarch butterflies over here. You might notice them. We have a lot of milkweeds. We also got a grant to plant milkweeds out here. And Val, our naturalist, collects the eggs and puts them in here, and they hatch out into the little larva, which are just barely visible, and then they go through a number of different molds, and then at the top you'll see the chrysalis they go into and then turn into a monarch butterfly. In our Fall Fun Fest in September, we put a little tag on the wing, and there's a little number on that, and if it's recovered, it gets reported back to us, and taped to the window over there where it says Certificate of Appreciation. This is one of them that was recovered in Mexico. So the last generation that we released in September, if you can believe that little butterfly flies all the way down to Mexico, and they recovered our tag. That was the first one that we've been doing it for a few years. That's the first one that we know that actually made it all the way to Mexico. So. It's quite impressive, I think, to see that kind of thing going on. So, another thing, if you go out just a little ways on this trail, we have our Native American pointing tree. And back in the days before GPS, the way Native Americans would mark their trails would be to bend over a tree and stake it down, and it would point in the direction that the trail went. That tree has been designated as, is it just a tree bent over, or is that it has been authenticated, and it recently won a special award, a special tree award, and there's a plaque out there for that. We've got a couple of awards. We've got second place with Kenosha News, the best of Kenosha County 2017, and the best parks recreation category west of the eye. We came in second to Vaughn. They're a lot bigger than you know, so coming in second to Vaughn was still pretty good, I think. So we had a lot of things going on out here. I've been out here most of the 20 years that we've been open, and when we first came out here, when people would come in and they would always say, we're the best kept secret in Kenosha County. And I don't really say that anymore. People come out and they say, you know, we've been reading in the newspaper, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, and I don't think we're the best kept secret anymore. So we encourage people to come out, and I know right now the mosquitoes are a little bit bad, but in the fall it's beautiful, our trails are beautiful out here. We have a hiking club that we do, so a lot of things going on. So, and again, we appreciate all of the support that we've gotten from from Dennis and Ray and Matt. They're always, what can we do to help you? So we appreciate that support. And we think this is a great place with a great future. So thank you.
What Barry didn't mention is they also do a lot of snowshoeing out here when there's snow.
Yeah.
And poor Barry has volunteered and come out unsuccessfully each time we've done a youth fishing derby at Katy Park. And he's got the snowshoes out there, and we got snow, no snow, or we've had rain, or it was 40 below.
Yeah.
So I was thinking when he's out there, he and Val and somebody out there with the snowshoes, and it hasn't worked yet. Man.
I think last year, I think it says in there, we rented snowshoes, 33 snowshoes.
Yeah.
For the entire winter. So as much as I really don't like snow, I would like to see some snow out here to get people out on their snowshoes.
But there's people that hike like Katie and come out here. Mark?
Do you have those passport, nature passports you found? Are they at the libraries too?
Not yet. We just started making them now. That's probably a good idea though to drop them off.
My wife's works at them, and I'd like to get her one of them so she can
sure.
see them.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. A good idea to have them in the library.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got a facility, let's use it.
Sure, sure.
Let's overuse it, myself.
Sure.
The libraries get busy in the summer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. All right, any questions from anybody prepared, or we'll move on to our agenda. Thank you, Barry.
One quick question.
Yes.
Barry, do you guys have the internet out here?
Yes.
And do you have wireless?
Yes.
Okay, so make sure.
I'm not sure what the...
No, it's fine. I just want to make sure that they wired you up.
Yeah.
I think because kids...
It's DSL, so it's not the fastest, but it's workable.
Aren't we supposed to be running high-speed internet out here?
They have to change from gerbils to squirrels in the cages.
Well, they've been monkeying around on that for a while.
I don't believe any of the links go this direction. The fiber loops, the closest one probably goes down Highway 50. But I don't know. There still may be high speed available.
Who's in charge of that project?
It's IT.
It's in the D5. So nobody here wouldn't have an answer to where we're at.
I could touch base with somebody and give you a buzz. Because there may be...
I mean, for most of the parks, I don't really care about, but this place is a little bit different, that's all. And if we're bringing it out here, and we are paying to bring it out to Western Kenosha,
yeah,
it'd at least make it here.
They're supposed to piggyback off the county towers and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll start with Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your packet, you've got a Public Works Facilities Committee status report for July. You all get it. First item on the agenda was a public safety building and pretrial roof replacement project. As we all know, we've gotten quite a bit of heavy rain lately, so that's pushed back our roof replacements. The PSB roof replacement is 80% complete. And just so you know, they cannot open up the roof or if rain is expected later in the day, they can open it up, but they have to have everything sealed back up before rain would hit, so that we never have any leakage into the building as they're doing this. It's a real hard and fast rule. Public safety building roof with these delays is still scheduled to be completed on July 5th. The pretrial roof, right to the pretrial building, right to the east, is scheduled to be completed on July 20th. And of course, you know, the dates are weather dependent if we get a lot of bad inclement weather. Any questions on that? If not, we'll go on to the Anderson Arts Center preservation project. Camozzi Construction is on board as the county's construction manager for this project. As some of you know, they did a very good job at the Brookside expansion project that was over $20 million with Ray, and they've got historical restoration background, so they were an excellent fit for this project. one of the milestones we had was schematic design drawings. It's kind of like the first iteration of everything in the scope. We're completed on time on June 18th. We're targeting development of complete bid level plans and specs for approximately September 1st. And we're looking at construction to begin in early 2019.
I do have questions on that, if that's okay. When I was out there, was that what with the surveying was going on at the time? Because I saw, they didn't quite know, but I didn't figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. To make sure that we have all the information up front mm-hmm. for any changes, so the elevations.
You're measuring on the, yeah.
The entrance elevations mm-hmm. compared to the ground the levels, any if there's any underground utilities out there mm-hmm. that we don't know of, mm-hmm. so that we survey that, we get them in place, we can design around them so you don't hit them during construction or design something to go like right in place. No, we don't like that. We don't like surprises. So.
And what's specifically being updated? Because I know there have been a lot updated. Is this the stuff that hasn't been completed inside, or is this outside?
Actually, the Anderson House itself is almost original.
It's totally separate from Pember.
Yeah, the Anderson is on the south, right? Yeah.
Yep, it's almost completely original, down to the fixtures. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the roofs and the limestone and the mortars, as you start to get water into the building, they had a lot of problem with the roofs.
Yeah,
they had to tear it apart. Yeah. So we want to make the envelope watertight.
Okay.
And by making the envelope watertight, the roof, the stucco, the limestone, you preserve the building and you don't get as much damage, or you stop that damage from happening, which saves you money over time. As we're doing that, we're also looking at the HVAC system. It's really old. We're looking at a new HVAC system that would include air conditioning, which would allow them to climate control the inside, would allow them to get more prestigious, better displays of art inside, because they can climate control it instead of just being, especially in the summertime, you know, up to the humidity and temperature. And that would help them get more exhibits, more people through the door, make them more successful.
So you're not trying to bring the HVAC back to original build mode? Okay. All right, but the roof, are there problems with the roof right now?
You know what? They remediated one roof and stopped that, but there's copper roofing up there that's original, 1929, and it really needs to be redone.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you mentioned you're going to look at the HVAC. Is that not already on the project scope of things you are going to do?
Or it is on the project scope.
All right. So all the major systems, roof, exterior, those are now, as far as you're actually going to be doing digging and things for concern over the utilities?
Well, if there's, depending on what we do for HVAC, where we lay pipes, where, you know, we might have to run electricity, things like that. You know, we're looking at the bathrooms and things. So we want to make sure we know where everything is, so you can design it out in a way that either avoids it, or that we can plan it in as part of the budget if we have, something has to be moved, adjusted.
Has there been an approximate budget for this project yet?
Yeah, I believe the number that's in this year's budget, it's either 3.5 or
3.9. But we're supposed to get money from the city for $3.5 million.
And what did you base the 3.9 off of?
We had the architects that did the courthouse restoration and the administration building restoration, and they did the Ruther restoration. We had them come in and do a budgetary analysis of Anderson.
Okay.
So it is for a budgetary analysis that we, to start off with, it was a very good number.
Okay. And then come also, you after this will go out for the actual bidding process on specific things that you're
right. It's the same process that was used for Brookside. It goes out to bid to everybody. Same process we did for the public safety building and the fleet maintenance building. It's open to everybody to bid.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yes, John?
Yeah, I was curious on the $2.5 million you said, said Kenosha is contributing to that. You know, what was the impetus for them?
TIF.
It's a TIF district, eh? Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this, none of this is new. I mean, we discussed this last year, budget time, it's gone over. So the city is, well, you wanted to explain that?
Yeah, if you can. I'm not, the financial part I'm not as adept at, but I know on the building side I can explain stuff. But.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on TIFs either, but the city arranges for TIF financing. And then property taxes or some sort of tax that would pay back the TIF. And the city has a lot of those, and they have set aside money in their TIF for us to use to pay for a portion of the Anderson House remodeling project.
That's 2.5 million?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to subtract from the 3.9 that it's going to cost, or it's an addition, and it's going to be a
six. No, that is subtract. So the county balances whatever the 1.4.
Okay. But it's going to be a TIF district in Kenosha. Okay. Well, that's good. We'll have to deal with that.
And the reason we're, especially for those of you that are new, the reason that this is a little more complicated and intricate as far as our planning is the limestone construction and the way the roof is fashioned there that is totally different than some modern construction, although this wasn't, this isn't a 1700 building. It was a Mrs. Anderson.
1929.
Yeah, a mansion built in the 20s. So the envelope has failed and water is coming down the limestone. That's why we use the people that did the public safety building and the courthouse in Ruther, because they do limestone. And once we did the courthouse, I believe they told us something about 50 years that we were in shape for now. And this building has had nothing done since 1929. It was donated to the county by Mrs. Anderson. If it stayed as part of the Kemper grounds and became the Anderson Art Center. Okay,
Chris. One other point to that, by tackling the exterior, the copper roofs, there's also a tile roofs, clay tile roofs, which are unique, but again, as Dennis mentioned, that they've been failing in places and they've kind of been chasing these leaks, and really we need to do the whole envelope. The longer you wait, the costs start to go like this exponentially. Because as the water gets in there, it freeze thaws, it leaks, you get rotting, you get the plaster, which is beautiful plaster work in there. So yes, it hasn't been done since it was built, and once we do this, we'll be good for another 50 years with just maintenance.
So are you gonna go with a modern roofing system and not what's on there?
No, it's a historical building. Well, let me preface this. I mean, the copper and the clay tile have lasted for almost 90 years. So in a modern building system, you get 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. There's historical things that we cannot change. In places where it would make sense and historically we can do it, we will go with the modern material that will last longer and save money. But in places like where the copper, the clay tile, we're gonna be reusing the vast majority of the clay tile. It's just we have to take them off and put a modern underlayment underneath it, modern rubber materials. So it's kind of a combination of using modern materials and then reusing the existing historical stuff. Some of the copper and things that you can see, you know, you can see from standing on the ground, but we're gonna re-put in new copper in that same vein, but again, in the last 50 years. So it is a combination of using new where we can, and that will improve longevity of it. But then we have to put back to the historic, because it's on the historical record, we have to use those historical materials, which actually have done very well.
Okay.
Okay. Going on to the Branch 1 courtroom renovation, the project scoping is nearly complete with the clerk of courts, the judges. We have actually a meeting now that we have the scope from them with the CUNY architects scheduled for July 6th. We're targeting development of the bid level plans and specs for September 1st. And then we're targeting construction to begin in November.
I guess we're good. Thank you, Frank. You're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The summer maintenance operations are progressing smoothly despite the sporadic and intense rain and flooding 2 weeks ago. There were a few shoulder washouts, some clouding and culverts. And at various locations. Overall, no major highway damage was reported. Generally, maintenance continues with our maintenance operations, which includes mowing, shouldering, crack sealing, culvert repairs, and trash pickup. The paving of County Trunk Highway is also progressing very well and on schedule. Last month, the crew completed a 1.9 mile of paving on County Trunk Highway KD from County Trunk Highway F to County Trunk Highway C. The crew is currently paving County Trunk Highway EA, that's in Somers, from County Trunk Highway S to County Trunk Highway E, and that's about 2.5 miles. The division also started a state project on County Trunk Highway, State Trunk Highway 31, which is a concrete repair. They have just completed the saw cutting. They were planning to start removal of concrete this week, but I don't think they will because of 4th of July, and so they'll probably be starting. They said maybe they might start on Thursday, but I think they'll probably be starting on Monday.
On the EA, that stop rate, you're up to E. I believe the plan is to go from E then north.
Correct.
But and of course, what I had asked about is because we're jogging, we're gonna divert that a little bit up to KR, right? And right now, KR is closed.
Not with this project.
Not with this one. Okay, so that section remains as is until we do that.
Correct.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks.
I want to clarify. So I believe from E. Almost or to KR. We're just going to go short of it so that we don't.
Oh, I was going to say, because otherwise, this is the waste of materials and
we're going to have to
labor. Yeah, okay, fine.
We're going to stay short of that. And that project you're talking about also require a right of acquisition.
Yeah, so yeah, it's going to be a ways, yeah. Okay, thank you, sir.
The village of Salem Lake passed a resolution 180618. Requesting that the county do a study, a traffic study at the intersection of County Trunk Highway F and County Trunk Highway W to determine traffic safety improvement. Technically speaking, they're just requesting for speed reduction on the south side of F, because that segment of County Trunk Highway W is 55 miles, while the other sections of County Trunk Highway W are all 35 miles
That's
per hour.
That's a four-way stop there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a four-way stop there too. Mm-hmm. Because they've given us a resolution, so that triggers us to do the study. And we're planning to start that study only after 4th of July, so that the results will not be skewed. Right now, this is the second study, so it might take a while because we're also doing a study in Somers, in the village of Somers, along County Trunk Highway A. They've also requested for a speed study to determine whether the reduction of speed is warranted.
Is that in the construction area now? Is that where
the construction is completed. The resurfacing of A and H is completed. And that's why we didn't do the study, because it was under construction.
But it's in that stretch from the access road to H, that's where they're asking you to study it.
Yeah, they're asking from the interstate to EA.
Along the way, okay.
Yeah, so you have two segments.
Yeah.
If I could comment on this, Salem Lakes, I was at that board meeting when this was brought up. It was brought up by a family that lives just to the south. It's like the first home south of that four-way stop. And from what I hear them talking about how hard it is to just slow down and get into your driveway without people wanting to pass you and go around you, turning, you know, they see you're turning left, going out and getting their mail. It's just as, you know, it's highway speeds out there. And when you go further south, it's 45, and then it drops back down to 35 when you're at W and C. So the only place it's 55 miles an hour is about 8/10 of a mile south of F to the stop sign. Everyone else going in that stop sign is 35. I think it's a reasonable request, and they put together the resolution to bring it up. So that's why this was brought up. It was a complaint by
Does
the
study cost us anything?
Sure. Just out of time. That's all.
Your time.
Yeah.
Do we always have a study done, or to Mark's point, it sounds like it needs to be done?
Oh, because these are regulatory signed by statute. You can't just change them because you feel like changing
them. That's what I was wondering.
So all the reasons why he has proposed that justifies the reduction of speed limit, all those reasons will be considered. And if at the end it shows that it should be reduced, then we'll reduce it.
Okay.
By law, we cannot, because it can only be reduced by resolution. And that resolution will require a speed study.
We see if it meets certain warrants, and one neighbor complaining is in a warrant.
Right.
You know, so they look at accidents, they look at everything. You know, and they'll check the speed.
Well, my concern was if there was a big expense involved, the common sense can rule, we can just do it. But that's why I just wanted to clarification.
And Clement had looked up a couple other areas for me, one in both Randall, and they don't warrant from just his preliminary study doing anything, but he did give me the information and why it did, at least at this point. And so now I can go back to those people and say, it was studied, we can't do anything about it because these are the issues. So hopefully changes here, because this is almost a no-brainer, like you said, Jeff. It's just, they have to go through the hoops and crossing the I's and dotting the T's.
Well,
or the other way around.
Well, that's just one item. It's
called
engineering judgment. So.
Since I own the first driveway to the west there, I'm in agreement with that stretch. But I can't pull out of it.
No.
That you own the driveway, right?
I own the 20 acres on the northwest corner of that intersection.
So we just take the speed limit to 65 now.
It's fine going to Wilmot there. It's okay, because they kind of set their own speed limit. The high schoolers do.
But. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's incredible what happens there.
Well, if you live there, how come the lady called me?
He doesn't live there.
I don't live there. That's part of my old family farm.
Okay.
We used to own all four quarters.
Okay.
What I want is a garbage can put just west of Dairy Queen so the bastards quit throwing them out. There's a garbage can at the Dairy Queen, and they wait that half a mile to throw it in my bitch.
Yeah.
That needs a resolution.
The exact amount of time it takes to eat a dilly bar.
We'll let you keep going.
Okay. So project updates. I feel a little bit sad to report this, because I remember the last meeting I said, oh, we are close, we're very close to getting the concurrent use for County Trunk Highway S. Unfortunately, last week we got a call and we're told that, well, they could sign it, they could approve it, they don't find anything wrong with it, but it's going to require the approval of the environmental documents. And so, and meanwhile, prior to or submitting the environmental document, they wanted the concurrent use to be part of the environmental document. So it's a kind of a catch-22. But what we are doing right now, we are working with BOA and trying to see how we can overcome these setbacks.
I want to just add to that comment. So that was Thursday, I think. You had gotten a notification early last week of this new development, kind of out of the blue. And so we pushed
Paul Ryan's office and Samantha Kirkman's office, and we were able to schedule a conference call on Thursday. So we had a conference call Thursday where I got fairly animated, but because of the silliness of all this kind of stuff. And what has happened is it appears there's a new FAA person that somehow in Washington, D.C. that got interjected himself into this process. And he wants to go down a completely different path than what everybody at the FHWA, the FAA, the BOA, and the DOT, and us have been working on for the past 8 months. Well, 9 months. And he was adamant that it had to go this other way. So he, I think, clearly understood my displeasure. And Jim pretty much let me go, too. He didn't hold me back. So at the end of that meeting, I got approval from Jim to, because I had already told him about, you know, you had offered at the last meeting that there may be somebody else that can help with things. It appears, well, I don't know exactly what's happened. All I know is that we got a note this afternoon that this guy that I pretty much, the guy we talked with last week, he's got like an emergency conference call he wants to have with us tomorrow morning. And there were other people from the FAA that were on this. His boss was on this phone call. It was the first time she was involved in this process. I know that they've talked to the people in Chicago at the FAA that we work very well with, thought everything was on track with. So there's an emergency meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock, a conference call. So what I was going to do is wait till we see what that is. If this guy somehow has saw the light from these maybe other people in the FAA, talked to him and explained what's been being worked on for the past 8 months. So I'm hoping that's what it is, but if it's not, if it's something other than that, then I definitely am going to reach out.
Yeah, let me know. Yeah, and we'll call the liaison person. We got a name. You know, don't tell us we got a liaison and then do nothing for us. They built the pyramids in Egypt faster than this. This is ridiculous. This is another bureaucrat sticking his nose in there, and there's no value to it.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, it was so frustrating that everybody was just quiet at one point for some number of seconds that looked like it was 10 minutes. We're just sitting there, nothing was being said.
And we found, to basically confirm what we were telling them on this phone call, Clement found one of the email chains, which, honest to God, has probably got 70 emails.
Oh, I love those, yeah.
And it goes back to August of last year. I went through that thing with a fine-tooth comb, and I found the two emails that confirm exactly what we had indicated to them we were doing, and everybody approved it at the FAA and the FHWA. There's two emails in there, so we sent that to them. And I'm hoping that played a role in why that we're going to have this conference call tomorrow morning. But I estimated that email chain, when I wrote it to Jim, I said, my guess is if you were to look at the research that went into all of these emails, not just the email preparation itself, there's probably north of $100,000 worth of staff time.
In this whole
thing for nothing.
No, there's no value. And then to throw in this environmental thing on top of it.
So,
come on. Let me know.
I want to stay off my soapbox if I can.
I want to commend you for at least expressing our displeasure. Yeah. We should. It's very frustrating. Sir.
So the pike trail is substantially completed and it's now open to the public. And we got a lot of positive reviews when we did the ribbon cutting. And as a matter of fact, I think the trail is becoming overcrowded, especially in the evening. You see all sort of users. You see people, kids walking, kids in strollers, and people walking or running or riding. And I'm getting ready. Oh, sorry. I think Mark should be getting ready. That you'll be asked to separate the traffic, whether people walking and people riding, because that is coming soon. I could see that happening because the people who are riding are being slowed down, and so.
We're on it.
Well, right. We're on it. So that's some of the things we might be facing in the future. Okay, now the next one is the Local Road Improvement Project, County Trunk Highway, AH. The project has already started. It started 1 week late because of the It rained 2 weeks ago, and the water tables were very high, the lake and the streams levels were very high, so they had to wait for another week for the water to recede so that they could do the work. And so, and you, if those who are using AH, you must have seen them replacing culverts, and hopefully we will not have any severe weather that will slow down the work. We hope to complete this project by mid-September. In other local road improvement project, County Trunk Highway E and County Trunk Highway E, the pre-construction is scheduled for July 12th, and start of construction will be mid-July, and anticipated end of construction will be mid-September for both County Trunk Highway E and County Trunk Highway EA. Again, the EA is the section that is north of E, and the E segment is the section that is east of EA going to 31.
Now, you know, obviously we just put a bridge on that one and finished up, was it last year, I believe, right? So is this just repaving, or are we doing anything else? Are we widening it, or?
No, we are going to pave the shoulders to create, to try to accommodate the cyclists.
Multi-purpose as much as thing, okay.
The bridge section will not be touched.
Yeah, so I hope that is good. Rest of it shot already. Yeah,
and then we'll be taking it all the way to 31 after the bridge. And then there'll be a small shot. We're trying to, because the county exec is envisioning the new development in the area. There's a, it's still in the works. There's a family or condo development that's going to be happening in that area. And so we're also going to install a kind of a small trail to accommodate pedestrians. If you have family living in that area, they'll be able to have access to the road without necessarily interfering with traffic.
Thank you.
Any questions? With Foxconn or DOT related projects, I just copied what the DOT sent to me, but I kind of filter it to show what will be happening within the Kenosha County area. This way, if you notice how they were like written in the future tense, but I just wanted to leave the words exactly. And most of these closures, these are long-term closures that will be impacting traffic in the southern part of KR. And so it's in I-94 northbound right lane to West 142 become an exit only lane, and that will go on for a while to late of 2019. Instead of going through all of this, you can just take a look and you read, but the most thing that is catching is that the off ramps for KR and E will be closed. And the on-ramp, that's the northbound, all the northbound off-ramps on E and KR will be closed. And so you only have access at 142 and 158.
And right now, they have the northbound entrance of E closed and the southbound exit of E closed.
Correct.
And it is effectively clogged traffic right there. So the DOT wasn't lying.
Yeah. So... the DOT is temporarily giving out briefs just to give like medium range closure. I just thought that maybe I should just print out one if you have not seen it yet, and just for your own keep. You know. So periodically be sending things like this, and whenever I have one, I'll try to share them. So rough questions to be able to respond to them. So and with that, that's all I have for my report. Any questions on you?
Very good. We'll hold on to Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First thing in front of you is a resolution to accept grant funding for the Kenosha County Parks Temper Center shoreline protection. This is something I've been updating the committees with almost on a monthly basis, it seems, with the amount of storm damage that Temper Center shoreline receives on an annual basis since the 1970s that we inherited Temper Center. So this is a huge grant through the state of Wisconsin for us to do a match, for us to receive construction documents and engineering plans for a shovel-ready project when future grant money allows. But to my knowledge, I don't know of any other municipality within Kenosha County that will have a shovel-ready project within the shoreline of Lake Michigan shoreline. So once this is done, this will put us really in good standing with the Army Corps of Engineers or whatever other grant funding might be looking for those types of projects. So what is in front of you is basically a match where it's a $48,592,000 grant from the state, and then Kenosha County will contribute the balance of $72,888 that has already been budgeted for through the typical budget. So what we have here is just approval to accept the funds from the state so we can move forward and proceed with the engineering documents.
So, discussion, questions on this?
I do. Maybe this is just too far ahead, but on the next page of your, behind that, the resolution, what's that, what's last page? You have the Kenosha County Expense Revenue Budget Modification Form. Again, being new, I'm still trying to read forms and all that. It has land improvements, expenses. It looks like the bottom line is $1,067,885. Does that include the 78,000 that we have to spend for the shoreline?
I'm not familiar. I don't have that form in front of me. Maybe Mr. Comfort does for the budget modification. If not, I think what you're referring to is on parkland development accounts. Is that?
Yeah, it's for the parks. Yeah, it's on land improvement expenses and then the revenues on here. So, is this what is that number the 70? Is this service 73? What is it that we're spending on?
No, the 72,000 is in the parkland development budget. We're adding we're adding the 48,000 to land improvements, and then we're adding the revenues to the whole accumulated.
Okay, so our revised budget now is at $2,666,506. These are the expenses.
That's a whole bunch of projects.
Right. No, but I just said that's all the parks. So yes, we're actually receiving more in than what we have planned to spend right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we're receiving more funds than this account. Some of the other expenses are in other accounts like park and development.
Okay. So this isn't just for this?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. That clarifies things. And then Shoreland, what are we calling this?
Restoration
project. How will this, will it be damaged again next year or five years? Or do we expect this to be a better fix?
I would say yes.
No, I'm just saying this isn't a permanent fix. This is just
this is just the engineering.
But that's what we're trying to get to is a permanent fix.
Correct.
It isn't just a study of how we're going to
fix it. This is just
the
engineering.
Yes.
The estimates have been in the tens of millions of dollars.
Right, that's what I thought. Yeah, okay. But this is just an engineering study to determine where we want to go to look at a permanent, if there is such a permanent.
What it does, and what we have found out over time, is that if we are ahead of everybody in our plan,
right,
grants come up, we're the only game in town.
Okay.
The city of Kenosha has asked us about this recently. How did you guys do this, get this grant? They want to know how to do it. We like to be ahead. So if the Army Corps of Engineers says there's grant money available for this portion of Wisconsin, we're ready.
And I understand and support that position. I'm just looking at, we're going to spend all this engineering money, hopefully for a fix or at least a longer term fix, then just keep coming up and every year doing this and doing this and doing this.
Yeah, okay. This would be a long term with the actual construction.
Okay, all right.
One step in the right direction.
That's what the engineering does, is to get a long-term fix. Thank you.
Yes.
So the 1,450 feet, Does that go a little bit beyond the, call them the lot lines for the Kemper Center, or is it just, are they just going to stop right there? Because the erosion may come in behind it if we don't do this right. Yeah, so the neighbor doesn't do anything, right? And it all does then start, and we spend millions of dollars to restore it, and I've seen it, it's bad.
Right. So this is most likely, we don't have the documents yet, we haven't talked to the engineer firm, but this is going to be armory. So you're talking tonnage granite rocks
yeah.
that are going to be right on the toe of our property line that would further armor the revetment over there. Then on top of that, preliminary studies have shown a steel sheet pile wall that goes back 10 to 15 feet and gets piled down okay. in order to further protect erosion runoff
yeah.
spilling over from our property. But a lot of these grants, unfortunately, do not accommodate private property. So we have to be very matter-of-fact
okay.
about property line cannot spill over because of that.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions on this resolution? Not what I would like to take a vote.
No.
Supervisor Franco.
Second.
Anybody, Supervisor Brunas? Any discussion? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
You the governor?
Last time I made an update with the third and fourth floors of the Lakefront Studio project. We did receive final occupancy, and we are moving forward with resolving the water infiltration problem by adding a filtration system to take care of all those all the shales that were basically going through the slope valves through the third and fourth floor. So it's all new plumbing with the third and fourth floor. Or basically where it intercepts from the old plumbing to the new, we'll put a filtration system on, and lead plumbing has that on the schedule, and we're pretty confident that that was our last issue. That's only about $1,000, and that's paid through the Kemper Center for that project. So, hopefully within the month, that'll be finished.
How many studios are there total? When I was there, they didn't
20.
Know for sure.
What?
20?
10 per floor.
Okay, thank you.
Next project was the KD Park multi-use trail development. That is substantially completed. So you can see attached pictures that that was crushed asphalt that we repurposed from KD Park when we acquired that back in 2011. So that turned out beautiful. And a lot of people that use that trail probably didn't even know about the western parts of KD Park. So that really brings people back through a lot of forest areas that were untouched through the development of that park. So, next project was Fox River Park Playground. That one also got completed this last month. That is a beautiful project, and just tons and tons of kids are using that new playground. So, you can see the pictures of that improvement as well. Pike River Restoration Phase 1. So, contractor did finalize staging areas for the street crossing, and they started up on tree removal today. Finally, as Clement indicated, weather does not cooperate with a lot of projects, no matter what division you're in. It really pushed stuff back. But they got the right piece of equipment for the job, so there's not a lot of manual work that's going to go into tree removal along the banks and the grading limits. That they actually are using the same mechanized tree removal process. If you remember reading the newspaper or seeing it firsthand, logging for that removal of ash trees. So it's basically, you can remove it a fairly large size tree within 2 minutes, and that's it. So it's going to be a very efficient way to get our trees removed from the project site. Pets JR parking lot expansion, another project complete. So if you haven't seen that, we basically doubled that parking lot. We're finalizing landscaping and a punch list, but for the most part, that parking lot's open and usable for the general public. If you look at the attached pictures on there, we'll see that there's a lot of underutilized open space that's up on that JR parking lot. Most people don't even know that's Petrifying Springs Park because it's outside of the actual parkway. So we do have a master plan for future development now that we have the parking lots up to snuff. So there will be plans in the future for pavilions sidewalks and other park amenities to try to blend all that underutilized space into Petrified Spring Park as well. And then, as noted, pest flooding, we did have to close for a day back on the 19th due to flooding. But the positive thing is, it didn't even spill over our parkway. We're just, Joe Rancho, our superintendent, is so used to dealing with flooding events that we usually have to anticipate closing because we don't want 100 cars in there and not know what to do with them once the flooding occurs. But as I said last month, with all the Mount Pleasant work that has been accomplished, it's not that they overreacted whatsoever, it's just it shows the times and how things are improving that it still had damage to the banks, it still spilled over the banks and the river, but it by far wasn't as bad as it was in previous years. Next, we have a summer youth employment program. There's some new committee members that probably don't know on the summer youth employment program. This is basically taking kids, high school age kids, roughly ages 15 or 16 and 17, and they're considered at-risk youth. So either gang affiliation, problems at school, they're on the fence if they're even going to graduate or not. They work closely with the guidance counselors, work closely with law enforcement. And this program truly is set up to get them, during their summer breaks, more of use to the community and keep them out of trouble. So it's our job to make them go to bed at 8:30 p.m. on a nightly basis. And I think we do a really good job doing that. So we have 15 youth on the eastern side of Port the Pets this year, and 15 over at KD Park right now. And they do excellent work. They work with their guidance counselors, and we actually team them up with park staff as well, so they're always moving forward, and they do quality work for us. Over at Pets, they're working on stormwater issues along our hill road, and they're actually trenching the shoulder in order to put in a culvert and drainage system. They're moving sand into our playgrounds, and basically a lot of physical work that goes into that, but it's not our staff that has to do it. On the western side, we're doing a oak savanna restoration, so we're working on removing a lot of trees. We're clearing for our future parking lot expansion for KP Park. So it's truly a beneficial program, and they learn a lot from it and stay out of trouble. So I think the statistics speak for itself that back when this program started, I don't know, right, 2008 or so, maybe?
Right, yeah.
That you saw the youth crime rate way up here, and it's down substantially. It's only like 3% now or something crazy. So it's one of those things that if other communities can learn from us, they'll be doing okay too. So that's a positive start to the year for that program. And then below, we just have upcoming events that we have a weekly programming, and then mark your calendars for that August 11th picnic in the park. So entertainment from noon to 8:30 followed by fireworks. So that should be a fun one. And that's all I have.
I think the first 2 years, and I thought the sheriff was making this up, for the first 2 years, the crime rate in that age group dropped 42%. It was just crazy. And I thought maybe it was these 30 families. Maybe they're just going to take care of those 30 families.
They were probably too tired.
Yeah. You should have been out there. I was out there the first day that they were out there, and this was like, you thought, oh, the police kids aren't going to do anything for these counselors. I mean, they were belligerent. They were a belligerent group, and they weren't ready to do squat. And they even told you that they weren't. And now they've got, it's such a dramatic change. Actually, those kids are not there anymore. I don't know where they are, but the group that we've had those recent years is a big turnaround. Quite a program. And they actually get things done that we don't have to have our people do.
So I just done the pathways for Katie. Was that the leftover pavement that was out there when you guys originally picked up Katie?
Partially.
But we'll at least get that out of there. Use it up.
Partially.
Okay. Thanks.
The rest of that, and there, we may not have enough of this for when Highway F is redone.
Okay.
Because they took like a thimble out of that pile for this.
The stuff that came from
Highway 50s.
Spoils out of here.
It came from Highway 50s resurfacing.
Oh, okay.
About 12 years ago.
Yeah. I have a question. Upcoming events. Pets. I don't see KD. I don't see Silver Lake Park. I don't see here. Are we working towards getting more events than these others? I understand it may have not have been, so you're not going to turn the switch on and start having them, but are we, and I understand the population is greater down there, but.
That's main thing is population. I'm not going to lie, that the more success
and you
gotta
have
got,
it. Yes, I understand.
The program it has, that's just because we've tried in other areas, movie nights in other areas. Paddock Lake had a movie night, and two people showed up, and one of them was our employee. Right. So, yeah. But we've had a lot more success with pets, but we do have other programming. I mean, Spring and Nature Center speaks for
itself. Right, and this is a permanent fixture, it's there all the time. These events are only come up for periods of time. So I guess my question is, again, I've not heard it before. You may have done, you may have not. Are you going to the towns and the villages and saying, hey, we want to start doing some things and promoting the county parks in there? What are some of the things that you would like to see? Twin Lakes does movie in their park.
Right.
And the caboose, and all that. But so that may not be as well out because of that, but there might be other things. You go to Twin Lakes and Randall and say, hey, up at KD Park, what are some things you'd like the county, maybe either you want to be part of or not be part of, what are some things you'd like to do for the community? What are some things that you know would work or that we should stay away from?
And we do special events that are through other community groups. For instance, today I talked to a Boy Scout group that's right on that Illinois border, and they utilize Camp Lake for some of their things. Mm-hmm. We're planning on bringing 1,300 people for the Boy Scouts over to Fox River Park. Mm-hmm. So we're always open to Boy Scouts.
No, I understand that.
Groups. So it's all about collaboration. It's a lot of these things like Bruder Law offices, or CrossFit, or yoga. Those are all private industries that come to us that want to market their program, but we're providing a free service mm-hmm. in order to have the community go out. So believe me, I'm the person that will always say, how can we do it? And we'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. And we did yoga over at Bremen Nature Center last year. So that was another thing that we brought out with us. We do ice fishing derbies at KD Park. So there is a lot of things that we can grow.
Yeah.
And we have our beaches out west too, so we program, we feed collect, we have lifeguards out there. So we try to be holistic in nature, but for some things there might be a better fit at this time with pets versus others.
Understandable. I'm just, is there a process to go through to get them or not?
Mazzow is looking.
I think it's more of a push than a pull. So.
Mazzow is looking in his first year and a half, he took our special events from 15 to 78.
Right, no, I understand.
So
it's taking time to build.
Our doors are wide open.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it. All right. Thank you, Matt. Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In golf operations, we're following our business plan, and we're emailing over 15,000 people weekly. I'm trying to keep interest in the golf course. Our big initiatives for July. We have our opens. We have the junior open from the 9th to the 12th. We have our men's open, which we're trying a different format this year, just trying to increase our participation. We're going to have a two-day instead of a three-day event. We're going to have 8 o'clock shotguns in the morning just so we can get people in and get them out, so that they don't have to take all their weekend for a golf tournament. They can still have some family time. So We're trying a little bit different there to try and boost our participation. And then the Ladies Open, this is the first year that Kenosha County Golf is going to be running the Ladies Open. It was always done by private individuals, and they felt that maybe it would be more successful by us taking it over. So that's something that we're planning. And again, we're having those shotgun starts in the morning, and hopefully, we'll build participation through that. It's great that Kenosha News has stepped up once again and become our partner to promote these events. And they're doing quite a bit of really nice advertising for us. We're also receiving really good comments on the conditions of the course, except for how moist they are. I mean, they're just unbelievable how much rain that we've endured. But the top concerns are the sand traps at Brightdale, which you know we're going to be addressing this fall, which is great. But also the carp pass at Petrifying Springs are really, really deteriorated and kind of scary, actually. You know, pretty dangerous. There's some big potholes in the carp pass there. So we do have our junior clinics and PGA League in full swing. We have about 110 kids in our junior clinics. We have Wednesday mornings at Brightdale from 9 until 1, and then over at Petrifying Springs from 4:30 until about 8:30 on Wednesdays and Thursday evenings. We will go through August 9th, and the kids are learning the swing, golf etiquette, rules, and hopefully having fun doing it. That's our main goal, safety, and then have a good time. The PGA Junior League just actually wrapped up this week, and unfortunately we did not win this year, but Strawberry Creek actually won the league, but now they're going to have an all-star group of 10 kids that are going to compete throughout the state, and there's four kids that come from Strawberry Creek, but we have two from our courses, and they go out and play other area PGA Junior Leagues and see how they can compete with those guys. So that's always a really fun time for the kids. You know, we're teaching them, you know, the swing, you know, and competition and sportsmanship, you know, so it's really good for them. And then next week we have our first RecPlex junior golf clinic, which we'll have about 12 kids at. They come every day for 2 hours to Brightdale, and we spend an hour on the range going over the swing and the putting green, and then we'll take them out onto the golf course and again teach them how to utilize what they've learned and about sportsmanship and the rules of golf and just about respect for each other. And so what's really nice about our junior golf programs compared to a lot of other facilities that I know of is we're getting every one of our kids out on the golf course. So they're actually taking what they've learned to the course and hopefully, it sticks a little better for them and they have a little bit more fun doing it. You know, so we work early in the lesson program on impact and making contact and getting the ball airborne and having fun then we take them out on the course. We're also using all of our technology that we have to, have the kids play better, including the FlightScope launch monitor that we've had. We'll get all their swings on videotape and go over, some numbers with them, and they all like to see how fast that they're swinging or how fast the ball's going or how far it's going. So it's always a good time. And then the last thing that we're working on is we're working on that bunker renovation removal project with the Lohman Group, and we're looking forward to that. We have a pre-construction meeting set for August, and that's really going to help out with the cost of maintenance of the golf course, and it'll take care of the complaints from at least the White Birch. I think the complaints from the Blue Spruce might come up a little bit stronger than after we get done, but. It is going to take care of the White Birch and have that restoration project completed for the White Birch with the irrigation, the carp pass, and the bunker restoration up there. So that'll be a real plus for us.
You weren't at the last meeting because you were out playing golf, I think.
I was up at State.
I know. But Ray thought you could better answer the questions that I had. I won't hurt you too much. First of all, youth and golf. I asked how many of you guys. I asked Ray to ask how many play golf, and almost a third to half of them said that.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good.
Which I thought was pretty good.
Pretty good.
I think they all disc golf though. So. But I'll get around to that. But what I had brought up last time, in the last 10 years, golf participation on a weekly basis dropped by 23%. I expect it to continue to drop just based on too costly to golf, too much time to golf. I'm talking to as many millennials, my kids are just a couple years older than these guys, and they all say the same thing. Now, with the advent of disc golf coming through and regular golf, can you kind of make a, I know it's different, but can there be some sort of correlation between the two somewhere down the line that says, hey, come on here and we'll give you a round over there or something? Or you could use a set of clubs here and we can make it a special if you do, you know, I'm just trying to figure out more ways of getting people in there. Now, I don't know how many rounds per year, or per day, excuse me, are normal, and how many rounds are rained out, if you will, or weathered out, you know, per average month or whatever. But are you seeing, again, it's been a lot of rain, it's hard to measure, but in the last 3 years, 5 years or whatever, are we seeing the fruits of our labors, if you will?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, we have 160 kids in our youth program. You know, I mean, that has definitely grown for us. We don't see that rounds are down. Our big goal is to, you know, remain competitive and affordable for our juniors and seniors, and we've been able to do that. I mean, you can buy a season membership for $95 and play for $5.
What are your set of clubs going to cost?
Well, you can get them for, you know, you don't get brand new ones, but I mean, you can get clubs for $100 or $200. You know, you can get box sets that are really nice sets,
Beginnings. Do you have them there?
Okay.
I haven't been there in a while.
And we have from, you know, 7 to 9, and then 9 to 12, and teenage, and senior box sets. And
I know you've been doing a lot of the merchandising with the different suppliers, or, you know, mm-hmm. Callaway, Payne, whomever, and all that. So advertising that, are you advertising that you are updating the tracks now so you can get people still interested? Hey, you know, is that something? Would it be a good marketing tool?
That's something that we
you
want
know
to
that
do
better
afterwards.
Than me, so.
We want to do that afterwards because we want Late to have
season,
that project.
What you're saying.
Yeah, we want to have that project completed and then say, come on out and take a look at what we've done. We don't want to have them, oh, you know, you got new traps. Oh, okay, we're thinking about this, and all of a sudden you
so
get
So I'll wait
again.
Until you have
right,
them.
Right, still
got them. Okay, you guys know that better than I do. But the traps are in the budget for this year, correct?
For the white perch.
For the white perch.
118 out of
118.
Yeah, right. Are we going to have to do them on the red and the blue as well?
Yeah.
Are we going to be looking at 2019 and 2020 for doing
those? We'll see how the budget shapes out when we'll be able to do.
What about the cart pass and pets?
Same thing.
They're not in the budget for 18?
They're not in the budget for 18.
Okay.
We will patch and glue them together another year.
Good. They had to do that for my roads, and so I figured I don't know. Again, it sounds like a lot of work is going into it, and I appreciate all that effort. I get concerned that, you know, we're spending a lot of money on the golf courses. I just want to see it become better, more profitable. To tell you the truth, I'd rather the golf courses pay for their pass and pay for their updates and all their capital expenditures. That's where we need to get the golf courses to, in my opinion. You're competing against private companies who pay taxes. You don't pay taxes, you don't pay capital expenditures, you don't even pay back the loan on the capital expenditures, then money has got to start being really pushed out of those golf courses to start looking at least some of that, taking some of the burden off the economy, so we can do these types of things where they don't bring in income, you don't generate
revenue. So the
only
thing I'd clarify to what you said was, if there is, and Jim can confirm this, that the monies that have been accruing over the past few years as the courses operations have improved, those monies have been accrued, those are being spent back in club.
I understand that.
And even the white birch bunker removal this year, we decided to use that, partially that's bonded money and partially that's revenues that were generated by the golf course. Now,
so how much are you going to bond? Put that over the interest rate.
$600,000. So I have bonded in half for reserves.
How long is the bond for? 10 years?
Summer 10, summer 20. Depends on what asset you're bonding for.
Well,
some are even shorter than 10.
We're bonding for the white birch. So how long is the white birch track?
I don't know. Okay.
So whatever that amount is by the interest rate by the time, that's also has to be considered as part of making more that amount more. You get what I'm saying? If I'm a private golf course, if I'm Twin Lakes Country Club and I got to do my, I'm going to do 18 holes of mine and it's going to cost me $600,000, I got to come up with $600,000 or I got to borrow it and I got to pay it back. If I don't pay it back, I'm out of business. That's how I'm looking at every asset that is revenue generating here. Kemper, the, you know, the Brookside, the golf courses. I'm not picking on you guys, but I believe as a taxpayer, if I've got golf courses that I, if I play or not play, I'm willing to play it, to pay money for, whether it's yours or someone else's, then why do I want to pay for it again in the taxes? Now, you can say you get a discount, right? If you're an avid golfer, discount's probably very good. But everyone I campaign to, everyone I knocked on doors, and I mean everyone, none of them golfed. Their 80-year-old mother didn't golf, but they're here paying taxes. You know, their 20-year-old son didn't golf, but they're here paying taxes. You know, I'm just saying is they're paying taxes, so I think it's only fair for
the only other side of that, and because there's, like both of these things, there's many layers to them.
Sure.
So there's the economic impact of having a course here and the quality of life that it brings to the table in terms of its impact on, is it something that Haribo looked at when they decided to move here? Is it the only thing? Of course not. Was it one of the many layers of things they looked at in determining, is this a good place for their corporate folks to be home to? So when you actually use PGA information to determine the economic impact, it unbundles all that stuff. So although the person may not, at an individual level, use that course, they may in fact still be receiving benefits from that, in that other things may be lower because of other things that have come here as a result of this overall quality of life picture. So,
someone involved in it like you would understand that, and I'm telling you these people are going, no way. Especially ones who don't want Foxconn and don't want Haribo. I want to keep it how it is. You know, you're not going to talk to those people and tell them there's an economic benefit. Now, again, we're getting off the...
Right. I just wanted
to... And I'm not against... I just want it to be ridiculously profitable. That's the idea. And what can we do to do it? And it isn't always dumping money, but there's other things we can do to help it become ridiculously profitable so the county isn't paying. Again, no, we're doing this and we just need your okay, but the county's not paying any money. Great, do it. Make it better. You know, that's the road I'd like us to go.
Understood.
That's all. Thank you.
That must be in a good mood. I don't hear you let you get off track that far. So we won't do it again tonight. Dan, I guess you're still going.
Nah, that's all I had.
That was already totally done.
Frank.
Starting with ongoing project updates, so I'm going to talk about. The first one is the parking ramp waterproofing project. It was completed on 6/22. That will be crossed off the list next month. The second one is the pre-trial body scanner project. That one was also completed on 6/20. That one will be on. Third one is the fire alarm panel replacement projects. That was for replacing fire alarm panels at Mullen Arrow, KCAB, and pre-trial buildings. KCAB 1 is done, and Mullen Arrow and pre-trial are still in construction. Fourth one is the courthouse chiller replacement project. It is not in complete construction. We got bids back on June 14th. They were higher than we anticipated, so right now we are getting a cost breakdown so we can analyze how to proceed from there. Our whole bid was $587,000. We had anticipated anywhere, and we're very hopeful to get anywhere from $400,000 to $440,000. So we've got some decisions to make on that most street costs. Our whole bidder was next project is KCBC Group Coupling Replacement Project. That's a new project that they added. There's piping that goes through the whole building that carries all the hot water and light all that keeps the building. There's no well joints between the sections of pipe. It's a coupling with an O-ring in it, buildings and all the carriers. We get leaks when the temperature cools down. It's been going on for quite a few years, so starting on replacing that. We're splitting into 2 years. It's a $300,000 project, $150,000 each year. Bids were received on the 13th of June. New plumbing was also the low bidder on that. Came in at $147,000. So we just paid about $2,000. Lighting up, they started on that pretty quickly. the focus on energy project list. It's just one little thing to report from the report. That's also on the courthouse replacement chiller project. It's that little figure in red there under annual savings and calculations were done for that project. The annual savings are $2,869.
Was that savings based off of your discussions with, I guess it was Lee Plumbing and the system they're going to put in, or are you estimating these savings?
Based off the chiller spec.
Okay, so just based
on the
manufacturer's specs on that. Okay. And those are operational energy savings, I guess? Okay. Any idea on the life of that system?
Bids. We are seeing now in the last, really in the last month, what we anticipated seeing, which is that bid costs are rising. Mike's project for the chiller came in about 20% plus over what our estimates were a year ago when we put those budgets together. 2 years ago? Two bidders only. That's the other side of it. There was only two bidders. A sizable HVAC project. We would normally expect to get bidders from outside the community on something like this, a $400,000 or $500,000 project.
Second tier bidders.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, but not uncommon now. Clement had a small project by highway standards out on Highway W. Those of you who are familiar where the Fox River is washing out, and we've had some temporary stuff for a number of years. Well, we went out to bid for that project. Those bid estimates were put together late last year as well. Those came in about 20% over budget as well. It's a $500,000 project. That's what the bids were. It was actually about a just over $400,000 was the original estimate. I happened to run into one of our principals that we work with at R.A. Smith, the civil engineering firm, and I said, what are you guys projecting going forward for your annual rate of construction and inflation? And he said they're using 15% to 20%. So I just want to make the committee aware that some of what we're seeing, at least at this stage, is, again, I think not a total surprise to any of us, but it's happening. Now, the silver lining in this is that the successful bidder, the low bidder for the project at Fox River, was from the Twin Cities. So what's happening, and what I do think will happen as time goes on, as these prices inflate, it will make it beneficial for folks outside our local area to look at this, because the margins are going to go up so high, it will attract folks. So the low bidder, by like $100,000 on the Fox River little embankment project, was from the Twin Cities. And so I think as the momentum for all this building takes place, there's going to be a point at which other people, bigger players from outside the area, are going to start to bid, and we may then start to see some leveling of things as additional resources start to look at this area. The key is going to be that we put off, if we can, any large building projects. I don't think we're going to be able to put off any of the road projects, but I'm hoping if there's any large building projects, we can put them off 3 to 5 years, because then all these folks will be here, the regional folks, in the mix. And as that work starts to wind down, I'm thinking there's going to be an opportunity that we can get some pretty good bids on construction stuff, because now they'll have a presence here, they'll be mobilized here, and they're going to want to stay here and make use of those mobilization costs. So we'll see how that goes. Right now, I know, without even getting into any preview of the budget, there's not going to be any major building-type projects proposed next year at all. I know that, because there just isn't going to be. There's road projects. Big road projects, we're going to have to deal with the infrastructure, because people are going to be impacted by that immediately. So that's kind of the one thing, is the 15, or a fairly significant cost increase in bids we're seeing. The other thing is the rain events that we're having. We had Supervisor Skolitsky had sent a situation that we needed to look into. There was another one Chairman Esposito sent us a few weeks back from someone along the Pike River in Summers. And Clements had to deal with a lot more than I've had to. There's been a lot of issues because the amount of rainfall that we've had, and it's not even so much the amount of rainfall, but it's the intensity. And so those things I put in that note to the gentleman in Paris was that we got the information from SewerPAC. What they're doing is there's actually it's not U.S. Forest Service, I forget which branch of the federal government. There's actually stream monitoring. There's all along the Fox River, but even in the Pike River, there's a few. And we got the data from those, and what it shows is that although the overall trends for rain are only slightly changed in terms of the total annual amount of precipitation we get, but it's how it gets delivered now. And that's what this graph shows very tellingly. It's volatile. So what we're getting is the rain events where we get 2 inches in an hour and a half. Those kinds of events, the frequency of those events, there's most definitely that's happening more frequently. And that's what we're seeing at our level is the phone calls from folks and inquiries about what can be done about these various issues. Because the rain comes, you typically would get 2 inches over a 24-hour period, you know, whatever. Some of it's going to percolate, some of it's going to be managed by the existing kind of decades-old stormwater management systems that are out there. The systems are getting overwhelmed on a regular basis now, at least the way the rain patterns are the last couple of years. But it's very interesting. SewerPAC is trending this stuff, so that data is available if constituents want to see some of this stuff firsthand. There has been a lot of staff time that has been involved in trying to get some of this stuff sorted. We've tried to help folks as best we can, but in most cases, if there's stuff that's happening on private property, what's ultimately going to have to happen is folks will have to work with neighbors to kind of sort things out, because typically this stuff is meandering through a number of private owners to get where it ultimately ends up, either in a lake or a stream or a ditch. So those have been the two interesting things that have really come to light in the last month, is the stormwater issues and then the cost increases on the construction side. Just something to make everybody aware of. Other than that, I know the Supervisor Hughes took a tour, and like I say, the Chairman said, I encourage anybody, if you're newer, if you just are, it's the first time we did something like that, but I think it worked really well. We scripted it out, and it stayed pretty much on track. You got to see pretty much a good slice of what goes on in public works in all the different areas, and kind of behind the scenes. It's maybe not as entertaining as a behind-the-scenes Disney tour, but it would still be fairly enlightening. That's it for me.
Cool. Just to piggyback on what Ray said, the 8 hours that I spent were very full. It was very educational. I was exhausted when I got home just from all the information that was shared. And I will tell you, the department heads, some of them are newer. They know the history better than I do, and I've lived in Kenosha County my whole life. You have a stellar team, and the knowledge that they have, the work that gets done with the amount of staff that you have, is very impressive. And I enjoyed the tour, I enjoyed learning more, and I'm gonna keep doing a few more of these just to see how everything works and flows, because come budget time, it's gonna be very important to understand what the needs and wants are and how everything works through that budget. So thank you all for taking me along and showing me for a couple hours what you do, because it was eye-opening.
Levin said he couldn't understand you. That was the only problem. All right. Well, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.